Welcome to episode 357 of the 8-Bit Geek. This is your first time here. Let me tell you what the show is like. It's a lot better when I have a full, you know, voice recovered. As I did that intro there, I realized that I still can't hit a certain pitch.
Hey!
The Jay Leno pitch.
Yeah, I can't
hey,
do it.
Welcome!
So I'm still, I guess, still recovering. But it's mostly back. But if this is your first time here, this show is a lot like the stock market during the coronavirus outbreak.
Oh, no.
You know, it's up 1 minute, but down instantly. People used to look to you for stability, but the only thing you've done for them is disappoint as of late. I'm Jeremy, and with me today is patient zero and patient number one.
Doug!
Kevin! Wait, am I pee or poo?
Oh, you're definitely poo.
Oh, okay.
You've always been.
That would be patient number two. I guess that would be Jeremy if we're patient zero and one.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
You're the shit, bud.
I'm the shit. Coronavirus has. I guess it's something really important that we should probably talk a little bit about at the top of the show. Just because of how much it deals with the entertainment industry. And what it's doing to the entertainment industry as a whole. And, of course, we want to make sure that our fans and listeners, as fans and listeners are separate, of course, but to make sure that everybody's safe and they actually have some knowledge being thrown at them, and to kind of, you know, not freak out, but still stay on alert. You know what I'm saying?
Stay safe.
Let's stay safe. But yeah, DC has pulled out of all future con appearances. Most film companies are not, you know, doing anything this year. South by Southwest got canceled.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's a huge, huge thing. So then, of course, you have movies starting to push their release dates back. Like you had James Bond this week announced that they are moving their opening from April to November, and they came out and just simply said, hey, we're going to take a $50 to $80 million loss on this, but it's better than triple digit losses if we release in April. And so what that means is that, you know, that's
30,
the first
30 to 50, not 50 to 80.
Yeah. Is it 30
Almost
to 50?
Numbers have gone up. Yeah,
I thought they said 50 to 80. It's a scary thing, because that right there shows you that these movie studios are thinking about moving their dates, and we may lose a summer schedule for film, because you know we're supposed to get Black Widow, and that's a Marvel film, and Disney's not going to fuck with trying to mess with that money up, because that's a guaranteed at least fucking 400 to 500 million profit. So you don't have the Chinese market right now, because no one's going to see movies. You're starting to lose the American market. You don't have Italy. You don't have all these other countries where you normally would release in. So in just the movie industry, it's going to have a huge impact.
That's true. I mean, it's pretty crazy. And just even, I mean, going to the even gaming stuff, did you mention the GDC? Like a bunch of bands, a bunch of companies are pulling out of GDC, and just like nobody wants to take chances in these public events. I'm still wondering what's going to happen in a lot of these Comic-Cons like that are coming up, like Planet Comic-Con in Kansas City, and that huge meteoric Comic-Con happening in Dallas in a few weeks, where they seem to keep dropping celebrity names on there. Like, it's insane. Like, I wonder what... when are those going to be announced and affected, you know?
I think they take the same route that South by Southwest does, right? Like, you push it up to the last minute before you cancel it, because you don't want to. And at the last minute when you're being forced to kind of by the city and or by the celebrities dropping out, then you make a decision on that based on how many people are affected. But news reports are stating that it's going to just keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse, especially here in America where we did not prep for this thing. So it's scary, but I just want to make sure that every one of our listeners is prepared and make sure that you stay safe. And yes, there is a great chance that you're going to get it. There's a really high chance. I think the department, I think the CDC or who was it that Doug, maybe you, I think it was CDC who
WHO.
Yeah. Pretty much was like, yeah, I mean, at this point, everyone's going to get it. Like, there's no doubt.
Yeah, I think it's at 70% of the population its current rate. Within the next, 6 months or less, we'll have it or have had it.
Yep. And so, everybody's companies have been putting out stuff. And, you know, Apple today just said that all retail employees will get unlimited sick time if they show symptoms. In order to call out and to be out and still get paid. Everyone follows suit. You have all these big companies in Washington where everyone's working from home now, all these tech businesses and firms and stuff. And a lot of companies have frozen travel. I even heard reports that international flights are still being run, even with zero people on board, because they have to, complete 80% of their flights in order to stay in their hubs, and if they don't, then their contracts get expired and somebody else can buy it up.
That's so crazy. I didn't know about all that. I know there was super cheap flights now. Yeah. But that's crazy.
Cruises are really cheap right now too.
Yeah, you could take one of those.
I'm not even kidding. You can book a 7-day Mediterranean cruise normally for about $2,000 or $300 right now.
And
people are like, "Not good."
And not fun. And you'll be able to get it even cheaper because Trump right now is meeting with his Republican constituents tomorrow, I think, and they're gonna be having a relief meeting on giving tax breaks for travel and for all that kind of shit. So you'll get it even cheaper.
Yeah.
If you wanted to. Yeah, spring break numbers have to probably be down. Doof Dude in the chat says they're down 28% in Kansas City as far as flights. So, and Lucy State Check, Chicago economy is tanking. Everybody's economy is gonna tank. You know, I was at work today. And a guy was like, "Oh yeah, this stock market stuff is great. Don't let them fool you." And I was like, "You do know what the effects of something like this has, right? Like, it can ruin some companies. It can ruin shipping companies. It can, people who produce stuff. Like the Chinese export market is not going. My wife's mom works at the LA docks, and she said there's been one ship coming in the last 2 weeks, and so all those jobs are affected, so no one's making money from that. It fucks the entire country. You can't sit there and be
world.
Like let's
fuck the entire world.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you can't sit there and be like, "Oh, the silver lining is I'll be able to buy stocks cheaper, like my 401k
will be useless because we'll all be dead."
my 401k just took a shit today.
Yeah, I'm afraid to look at my 401k.
So it has a huge effect on everything. So don't play when you're talking about this stuff. You know, it's nice to have optimism, but don't be naive. You know, stay safe.
Wash your damn hands.
Wash your hands. All that good stuff. But now that we've got that out of the way. It's a sad thing, but we'll try to make some funny today. And we are the Apic Geek. If you like what we're talking about, if you like what we're saying, you can always visit us at www.theapicgeek.com. We have a lot of info over there. We also have our links to our Discord if you want to chat with us, talk more about it as well. You can talk about it in Discord. We like to bring up that kind of deep stuff. So we have a really, really great community over there. Thousands of people interact every day with each other. Some days, not so much because it's the weekend, but everyone's the weekends are pretty dead on Discord, but I think that's because most people have plans on the weekend, and I think a lot of people just like to chat at work during the week. Just to go back, shout out to Birdie in the chat. We hope everything's going to be okay with you. Yeah, the hotel industry and all of that is just fucking dying, you know. And
for the listeners, what Birdie said was, I work for a hotel in Florida and it's crippling. Just hoping not to lose my job. And yeah, we hope you don't either.
Yeah,
that's what's not even about your coworker that's like, this is great. Like, no, it's not. Man, people are going to lose. Like, you could lose your job because of this. That's not fucking great, you goddamn moron.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we'll see how great you think it is. Seriously, when you and your family are living in a cardboard box because the fucking economy tanked. Like, okay. All right.
Yep. The Australia announced that they're on the verge of a
recession.
Yeah. So they're one more day of this, I'm pretty sure it could probably happen. So, anyways, we wish the best to everybody. And if you need someone to talk to, hit us up in the Discord. If you're feeling down in the dumps, you know, if you're being affected by this stuff, please come talk to us. We'd love to cheer you up and get your mind off of it. We also have our Patreon over there. We know it's going to be tough times. So if you have extra money to spare and you want some extra content, you're more than welcome to sign up with our Patreon over there. We give you a daily show. We do a lot of stuff over there. But we completely understand if you're going through bad times, you can't do that kind of stuff. We get it. We get it. We know what's happening. So with that, let's get into Amazon Adventures. It's a segment we like to do. We like to.
Not in these days. Gotta be careful in what we're licking.
We like to read funny reviews that have been posted to different places on the internet, mostly on Amazon, in a segment we call Amazon Adventures, brought to you by Amazon, not a sponsor. First up is Doug.
All right. Oh God, this is all right. Here we go.
It's a short one.
It's a short one. It's only four paragraphs and a very small text.
Oh boy. Yeah.
What do they buy? What is it? Does it say?
Does it even matter?
Oh, yeah, this was a bidet. I'm sorry.
Okay. This is a bidet. So this is to clean your ass with. 4 out of 5 stars. This is a verified purchase. This comes from Joseph Phillips. And he says, be careful. This item can spray hard enough to give you a colonic injection instead of just a wash.
Oh, boy.
How do we talk about something like a bidet without feeling a little awkward? I ordered this item for the bathroom in my workshop. The price was right, and installation was very easy with basic hand tools.
Nice.
The first time I used it, I switched through all the sprayer settings to test them out. I quickly found that anything higher than the first setting produces a jet of water that can easily force its way up inside your rectum, injecting cold water where the sun don't shine.
Oh, oh boy.
Oh. While I had emptied my bowels completely before I turned on the sprayer, the jet from the bidet shot enough water up my bum that I had to poop again to get it out.
Okay.
After I'd pushed and drained for a minute, I was sure I'd let all the water out.
Pushed and drained.
An hour later at work, I felt the familiar sensation of gas trying to escape and went to a room with no co-workers around to let out what I thought was a small fart.
Oh, no.
Imagine my surprise when I tried to let out the gas and a surprising amount of unexpected amount of water came out. It was just disgusting water. So I didn't really qualify as a full-on shard attack in the office, but it was still enough to leak through my Banana Republic khakis and leave me in a very uncomfortable situation.
Oh, no.
I ran to the bathroom where I expelled still more water into the toilet. I was able to wash up and change into a pair of hospital scrubs, but I did not enjoy the experience. Now, some people undoubtedly find a shot of cold water up the ass enjoyable. But it was... but I was only looking for a gentle spray wash. If you purchase this item, be very careful about turning up the knob higher than the first setting, and make certain you haven't inadvertently pumped any water up into your lower intestine. If you do go for a deep cleanse colonic injection from the bidet, make sure you get all the water out before you go anywhere. And make damn sure you're on a toilet if you feel like you need to pass gas later in the day.
Oh, wow.
How many people found that helpful?
341. Hmm. No, 342. Because now I've added. Okay.
Yeah. Add me to that, too.
Add me to that list.
Have you guys ever used a bidet? I don't think I've ever even seen a bidet in person.
I have not. I've always wanted one, and I see them on Amazon all the time. The problem is I don't have a plug in my bathroom, like in the toilet area, and mm-hmm. so I don't have electricity to run it. I would love a bidet. Fuck toilet paper. Spray my ass any day of the week.
That's the quote right there. Spray my ass any day of the week.
The brothers have talked on their podcast. Like, I think they all got one, and they're all like, it was life-changing.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I want one of the really fancy Japanese ones with the heated seats and the vibrator in the
what?
Sorry,
in the seat. What?
There, I mean, the seat vibrates, so it like makes you feel good. There's massagers in it. You know, it just makes you feel real good, real nice. You know what? Take it out of context, all of this could be bad.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, oh, clean my asshole.
All right, mine is gonna be for a hamper. This is a 5-star review. Employee of the month. This hamper acts as it should. So many things just don't do their job, as easy as their job may be, but this hamper does. Is this hamper next in line to be CEO? Not by a long shot. But will this hamper show up on time to work every day? Yes. Sick days? This hamper never takes them. This hamper don't quit. It's not looking for excuses to underperform. It's here to work, and work it does. This hamper will be there at its desk, pushing papers until there's no more papers to push. This hamper didn't lie on its resume. What you see is what you get. This hamper is loyal and knows its place. Doesn't ask for special treatment because it's getting too busy to get the job done. I can rely on this hamper, and I'd bet you can too.
Wow.
20 people.
Glowing ass review.
20 people found this helpful.
21 now. I need this hamper in my life. Oh, boy. Well, I've got a keyboard, like a computer keyboard, uh-huh. I assume. Half a keyboard?
It's like one of those macro keyboards.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah. It's like a one-handed keyboard here. Half a keyboard. So this week, Manuel Vega, which is my side character on the Amazons. Mm-hmm. I give this one a 5-star verified purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my wife left me because of this keyboard.
Oh.
Oh, boy. My wife don't like it when I use these keyboards. She thought it was stupid, so we had a big fight over it. One thing, you know, she filed for divorce, she took my kids, but I still have the keyboard. 10 out of 10, will buy again. Oh.
It's like a gaming keyboard split into a laptop. So, yeah, it's literally half it. You got your WASD keys.
Yeah, just the basics.
And then you use
space,
the mouse.
Space and control.
Yeah.
Huh. So, 662 people found this helpful.
Wow. Listen, I would say that your marriage isn't really on a solid foundation if she leaves you over a keyboard purchase.
Yeah.
If she leaves you before a keyboard purchase, bad news, bruh, she was cheating on you.
she realized your value.
Well, that was the real, I mean, that was like what her, I mean, she had something on the side, and that was just like the excuse. It was like, nah, I'm getting dicked somewhere else. But I don't want you to know that. So is this fucking keyboard.
I hate that keyboard.
Yeah. I hate the keyboard. Yeah, that's it.
Hold on. Wait, I've got another angle at this. What if he fell in love with the keyboard and she felt cheated on because of the keyboard?
Like he took it to bed and like,
yeah, it went everywhere. He couldn't stop talking about the keyboard. He had it at lunch, at the dinner table. They went to the movies together. Like this keyboard
changes a lot of things.
Yeah, that changes the narrative. I think then Manuel kind of deserved that one.
Mm-hmm. Chudfu, stop being so gross.
We need a "Where are they now?" for Manuel Vega. This was in 2018. We need to know where he's at in life now, and will he still stick up for this keyboard and this review?
I need answers.
Manuel Vega, we know you're a fan of the show. Reach out to us. Hit us up on the Discord or on the Twitters.
Let's talk some box office before we get into the news, where Onward made $40 million. And I don't know if that's because it was a bad movie or if we're starting to see people not show up to the theaters.
It's a good call.
It seemed
like it would be a fun movie.
Because this is a Pixar movie, and it stars Tom Holland and Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And so you would think that that is just a winning formula. Now it does have. Let's check the Metacritic. Actually, I like the tomato factor. Let's go to tomatoes.
7.7 on IMDb, 61 on Metascore.
Metacritic. Yeah.
So not great.
Yeah, not great at all.
Well, that's a bummer.
But let's see what the fans think on Rotten Tomatoes, shall we? Because that usually would tell us. See, on Rotten Tomato, it's got a 86 fresh, and then the audience score is a 96%.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, it seems like it's a big hit. Now, that would mean that maybe people aren't showing up. Now, we need more data for this. So, in the coming weeks, we'll take a look at it and see what the numbers are like. You know, we had The Invisible Man in its second week make $15.2 million. I actually did go to the movies this week.
Okay.
I went to go see The Way Back. That made $8.5 million. And that was the movie with Ben Affleck.
Okay.
Where he is an alcoholic who gets to go back and coach his high school basketball team. And it was a really, really great movie. It was really, really great. So
I've not heard anything about this movie.
You got to see the trailer. It was emotional. It was deep. It was a rewarding experience at the theater. The basketball game stuff. I wish they would have focused more on that because the trailer really pushed that emphasis. But it was really a story about him, not so much the team. So I mean the title.
Dude says Invisible Man was great.
Yeah, I heard that. My wife wants to go see it just because she wants to throw the fact that she has a goddamn Alamo movie pass, and she wants to wave that around. And she's like, "Hey, Jeremy, guess what I got?" Bitch.
Damn.
My wife is a wonderful woman. I'm just joking. If you're new here. It's just a joke. Yeah, but she got the Alamo Draft House movie pass invite, and I did not. So she signed up for it.
That's messed up. You've been the most vocal about it.
Yep.
I think they're doing it on purpose. Now they're just trolling you.
Yep. She sent me a picture of the email, and I about threw something at a fucking wall. And you know how many movies she has on her account that she's gone to see? One. I have 25.
She got the barely qualified.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Maybe that's what it is.
We know we ain't losing any money on this bitch.
Yeah.
That's true.
If anything, we're going to gain some money off of her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Target demographic.
But if we give Jeremy one, he's bought fucking 25 movies this year. We're going to lose out on all that money.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about No Time to Die, the delay. And so we'll skip past that. But
it's kind of a weird, ironic No Time to Die. Well, we got a little time, so we're going to push
it back. So we're just going to push it back.
We got a little more time.
They're saying like could result in a 30 to 50 million loss because, well, I don't know why. I guess they're expecting it to be a huge summer blockbuster.
I would think because of the money that they've already spent on advertising.
Yeah, exactly.
And all that stuff. So I think that that's where your loss comes in.
They're going to have to change billboards. They're going to have to do stuff like that where, you know, they have a specific date.
Yeah. So because all that stuff is already up.
And especially since now they're advertising so early, people are going to lose hype. So they're going to have to spend more money later on to build the hype up again.
I just think that, like, Bond is a movie that would serve well in either the holiday market, because it's like, oh, cool, an action movie for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And it's Bond. Great. Fantastic. But also works great in the summer market where it's like, oh, fuck yeah, summer blockbuster, let's go. So it can go either way. So that's why, they can make money.
Mm-hmm.
So. But also, the reason why they're doing this, you know, they talk about, like, well, if we look at what the box office is currently doing because of the coronavirus fears and people not going to the movies and stuff, like, we would probably lose about $30 to $50 million or we're going in the box office for people not going. Anyways, so fuck it. Let's just push it back and maybe we'll make it up with when this has kind of died down a little bit and whatnot. So. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. They said that if they didn't do this, then it would have been an undeniable fact that theaters across the globe would have been shut down and a fact that they would have lost 30% of their final box office tally, possibly losing $300 million out of a $1 billion global haul.
Holy shit.
So, yep. Batman. You guys know Batman.
Never heard of him.
All right, well,
$20.
It's a Batman. Can I give you a quick rundown?
Yes, please.
Sure.
Okay. So a bat comes out of his cave, right?
Okay.
And he sees a small child.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, wow, I'm not who I want to be.
Christopher Walken?
Yeah, wow.
And he comes out of the
dance.
Like, man, they got Christopher Walken to voice the bat.
He's
That's
like,
cool.
So he comes out of his cave. He goes, wow, I'm not who I want to be. I feel like I want to be a man. So Bing Pei Pow, I'm going to grow and be a Batman. So he essentially makes that choice.
No makeup's done. He's not a young man at all. He's just his age, but so he's still acting like that.
He makes his choice, and he becomes the Batman. And it's crazy because he grew legs and arms, but he's always in this like bat suit kind of thing because he's a bat, and looks like a suit. He's got pointy ears and everything, and he fights crime. He decides he was going to be a police officer. He goes in for the police interview, and they were like, sir, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Well, I came from a cave, and I grew legs. And they're like, that doesn't qualify. And so he goes, I'm still going to chase my dream. And there you go. That's how Batman was born.
Oh, you know what? I
saw some guy kill a couple of parents in the alley.
Yeah, I was like, I thought we were gonna actually just give us the Wayne origin story with the Waynes being murdered, and this was so much better.
Yeah, that's true.
And now I want to see one of our listeners animate that whole story.
Yeah, right. Wow, I'm a bat.
So Matt Reeves has gone on Twitter. And he's revealed the Batmobile. And I wish that we had a clearer look at it, but WB loves to do these fucking shadowy shoots before we see everything. But it looks dope. This is exactly kind of... I can't say exactly what I was expecting because I didn't have any expectations. But I think it's a cool nod back to the original, like, 66 Batmobile. And and kind of the comic books, and definitely something that you would believe that he put together, you know, like he built or had, you know, instead of just spending a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, this screams like, oh, again, Wayne project car Batmobile versus Wayne Tech military grade Batmobile.
Yeah.
Like what we've seen like the last two movies or two versions of Batman, with the one that Ben Affleck drove and the Christian Bale one, the Tumbler. But at the same time, like it feels more realistic than the ones from the other Batman movies, because those were very comic booky, almost animated Batman the Animated Series, like long Batmobile that like doesn't really make
very
sense.
Phallic.
Very phallic, very dick shaped Batmobiles. Yeah, this is just like a Charger.
Yeah, it's, I was gonna say, it's like a Dodge Charger, and it looks fucking sweet.
Yeah, like, which are mean looking cars car. Anyways. Yeah,
it's the Batmobile is a muscle car, and I do like that concept. You're right; it gives a good throwback to the '66, and then also, I mean, it's just like you guys were saying about year two. I mean, it just fits so well.
Yeah, again, like this is like one of the many cars he had in his garage that he was just like, cool, I'm going to take this one and I'm going to soup it up. Mm-hmm. Like that's what it feels like. It doesn't, again, it's like, I'm going to build this with what I have versus, again, like relying on Wayne Industries. Uh-huh.
And then Lucius Fox to do it later, yeah.
Exactly.
And it goes well with his bat suit that he's got on, that's very tactical and very homemade looking.
Yeah.
So. And this, can I just say though, the back of this engine is so fucking intimidating. This is like a goddamn V12 jet engine motherfucking thing.
I think that's the nod to 66, because that thing would always fire off real hard. Mm-hmm. So I think that's gonna happen in this movie.
God,
he's gonna run into a mountainside.
One can only hope.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing that I do appreciate, is that in every film they have the jet engine in the back, which is always a must.
gotta go fast.
Let's see, The Last of Us is getting an HBO adaptation. So that I mean, what's left to be said on that? I mean, it's great that HBO awesome. Gets it, because hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's being adapted with Neil Druckmann, who created The Last of Us and directed the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then as well as it's being co-created with the creator of Chernobyl, Craig Muzin. And
Muzin?
I don't know.
Both of you are correct.
Yeah, which I don't know if you guys have watched Chernobyl. Woo!
I've walked in on parts of it, and Ashley keeps begging me to watch it.
It's good. Mm. It's good.
I heard it's fucked.
So I think that they can... make this happen and make it happen well.
That's awesome.
His time
now. The question is, do we follow? I believe one of the original stories is going to follow the events of the game, the first game, with maybe a couple elements from the second game.
Yeah, and then they can kind of do their own thing after that. Season one, establish everything. Season 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, do whatever you want. Because you can open it up at that point. And just,
well, I was gonna say, like, yeah, how much is this gonna be like set in the world, or are we gonna see these characters? But it looks like it's going to be following Ellie,
Joel, and Ellie
and Joel. Yeah,
that's awesome. I'm really excited for that. Man.
But I just don't know who you cast, because like the performance was so good. I mean, I no doubt they can get someone that can do an equally great performance. But like Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson, fucking just. Nailed those roles in the performance. It's so fucking good. I don't know how you match that.
I don't know if Troy Baker could pull off the look though.
Oh, absolutely not. Like, no, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like there was a fan casting, and it was the guy that played Nikolaj, what's his fucking name from Game of Thrones? He played Jamie, that guy.
Oh yeah,
Joel.
Yeah. Yep.
And then there was that show I told you guys to watch, Unbelievable, on Netflix, and it was that girl.
That girl was
Ellie.
Yeah, that girl's actually been in a few things. And
yeah.
So, yeah, I know who exactly you're talking about, though, but I thought that was a perfect cast.
I was like,
choice.
Man, yeah, they look just like him. Like, yeah. Oh, that's really good. Like, that could work as far as the aesthetic. Now, the performance, I think she'd do really good. She was really good in Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And then he's good in a couple of things that he's been in outside of Game of Thrones. And he was good in Game of Thrones also. But is he Joel good?
Don't know.
I don't know.
His Tiny Lighthouse says, I hope that they don't Game of Thrones the ending. And I think that that's something where I don't think that there's a problem with, because of the fact that HBO isn't defined by Game of Thrones. You know, they HBO has created some of the best TV ever. And so
Even before Game of Thrones.
And even before Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones is kind of one of those things where no matter what the ending was, it was always going to be a letdown. It was never going to nail it.
Especially since the source material wasn't finished.
Yeah. And especially because no fan was going to like every decision that they made. Yes, did they fuck it up big time? Sure. But it also came out after the fact that the creators of the show were kind of phonies. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Biggest fucking like con ever.
They did make a kick-ass show.
For a couple of seasons until they ran out of source material. And at that point, they started firing writers and decided to do it themselves, and it sucked. It was terrible. Then it came out afterward that only one of them had read, like, three of the books, mm-hmm. even though there's, like, five or six of them out now. Five, I think. Five of them out. So
I want to throw my dream actor, not dream actors, but interesting choices to play Joel. Either Michael C. Hall, who played Dexter, I think would be a good Joel. Okay. And then, or even David Harbour, Hopper from Stranger Things. He's got a protective dad kind of feel to him. Like, and they've got the ruggedness.
Yeah,
of
I could see it. Yeah, I'll go with that. I'll go with that. I don't know. I'll go with David Harbour. I don't know about Dexter, but
yeah,
Dexter might be too young still.
No, he's 49.
Yeah, but he looks like he's 24.
But get throw a beard on him, like I said, the way
they threw a beard on him in Dexter, and he looks stupid.
Did he? I don't remember. It was so long ago, and I really tried to X that season out of my head.
Yeah, yeah, it was when he became a mountain man. He was in the mountains with a beard.
Yeah, because they wanted to make another series with him, and that was their only way out. Like Showtime wouldn't let them kill Dexter. Spoiler alert.
Great. So Disney Plus is developing a Beauty and the Beast prequel series. Everyone say yay.
Yay.
Hey, from the look of it, it's going to follow Gaston and the Fool. Which for
I'm
that,
okay for.
I am yeah, here yeah. for to watch those two roll like run around on the screen. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'd watch it. I will watch it. Those two,
really good.
Those two were definitely the shining stars of that film.
Mm-hmm. So 100% agreed. Yeah, sure. Shit wasn't Emma Watson.
Hey, now she's a rock
You're
star.
An all-star.
Yeah, I mean, that got that. Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo has confirmed that he is in talks to appear in Marvel's She-Hawk series.
Nope.
She-Hawk.
Nope.
No, guys, you got it misunderstood. She-Hawk is also coming to Disney Plus.
Is that like the Bostonian She-Hulk? Yeah, She-Hawk.
Oh, sorry. In Marvel's She-Hulk series on Disney Plus.
Did you see that they're like, we want to cast an Alison Brie type character? And Alison Brie was like, you mean me? Can I? Hi. Yes, can I audition for the role?
I would like that, please.
And Glow's ending, right? Or did they already film the last season? Like, so she's, I think she's what? Open.
Yeah, I'm assuming they are in the middle of filming, if not already finished it.
Mm-hmm. So
that's crazy. But yep. Yeah, I would love to see Alison Brie as She-Hulk. She-Hawk.
She-Hawk. Sorry, it's just the Boston in me. You know, that She-Hawk.
She-Hawk, you know?
She-Hawk.
Left a khakis and a khakis.
Let's get into some gaming news, where former Nintendo exec Reggie Fils-Aimé. Yeah, that's what I always say, guys. I don't understand what you're talking
it's
about.
It's the Boston accent. We can't understand.
I just said that. Reggie Fils-Aimé. Fils-Aimé has joined the GameStop board of directors.
Interesting.
What does this mean? What does it mean?
It means he's going to try and turn the company around, but it's probably too late.
I wouldn't say he's going to try to take it. He's going to try to pivot the company. He's going to try to make them like, you know, like we've been talking about how they want to try new gamer experiences. He's probably going to be in charge of like creating these new experiences. Nah. Or at least giving his consultation on it.
He's going to be like, he's going to tell them that that shit sucks. He's going to tell them that putting couches in your store is not the way to fucking
stay afloat.
Well, that's
what I'm saying. Like, he's going to try to point them in the right direction. I mean, he knows a thing or two about family entertainment.
Why do you think he took this job? Do you think it's the challenge of taking a company that's going to close and looking to like save it?
And he's on the board. It's not like he's,
I know he's not CEO or anything.
Yeah, so it's not like, it's kind of like a, you know, Ed, if it loses, it's not that bad. It's not that hard on him. And he's been retired anyway, so it's probably he was probably just bored.
Yeah, it doesn't fall on him, but it will now. Here's the thing. When you put that big of a name on the board and you put out a statement saying that we're going to try to save GameStop, it puts you as the target for if it fails. It'd be like, not even Reggie could save it. What did Reggie even do that for? Like, take a big risk.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I don't think it's going to hurt him as much as anyone else in this situation, really. I mean, because like I said, he's pretty much he's at retiring age. Like, he could just live out the rest of his days. He doesn't need to do anything else. So, I mean, he could just ride off into the sunset. So,
yeah,
not like Cliffy B, who still defends lawbreakers after all this time.
It's just an interesting move.
It is. It's definitely, like I said, I wonder if he just, maybe he's just genuinely trying to help GameStop.
Yeah. I mean, he could see them as needing, there needs to be a dedicated store to gaming still, but It's so interesting. I was standing inside this weekend, on Sunday, I went to a shopping center and I stepped into a Hot Topic. And Doug, and I just sat there and I looked around and I just went, GameStop it literally needs to be the Hot Topic of gaming, and it was trying to be the Hot Topic of gaming, because I went and I was just looking around and I was like, how is this place still profitable? How is Hot Topic still around? And
because they're on top of fashion.
Huh?
They're on top of fashion and they stick with bands and music. As long as music is a thing, Hot Topic will be a thing, I believe.
But I feel like GameStop, what if they actually took those properties and just like anything that's coming out, kind of take that same approach. Right? In Hot Topic, the front area is always the new pop culture movie or TV series that's out right now. And you sell that stuff right there, whether it be pops and t-shirts and jewelry and all that stuff. And it's just featured right there. And then you fucking steal their t-shirt wall, where instead of bands, it's just video games and video game characters and all the classic stuff like that. And you just like, I don't know, like I just feel like the shirts that they do have in the store don't really, they're just real fucking corny. You know, like they have to be appealing and fashionable and actually kind of a try with that stuff. And instead of, you know, because I think games would have to be the smallest footprint in that fucking store at some point, because nobody's going in there to buy that shit anymore. You literally would have to sell the concept of being a pop culture video game representative, you know what I'm saying? Like, and just sell the things related to that. Where I know you can make an argument and say, well, that's what they do with their store,
Think Geek.
Mm-hmm. But still, at the same time, that is just, you have some Star Wars stuff, you have collectible stuff and all that. But I don't see too many people buying that shit off the shelves, and I don't know why.
Unless it's on clearance.
Yeah. And it's just something that, I don't know, man. Like, I just looked at the Hot Topic and I was just like, man, I feel like I feel like GameStop could steal a lot of these ideas to actually stick around for a long time. And I could be very wrong.
As far as like the merchandise placing goes, I can't speak on Hot Topic, but when I was a manager, we had to stick to a specific layout and we couldn't deviate from it, which was complete bullshit, but that was basically from above. So anytime anything was up front like that, basically it was the advertisers were paying for it to be up front there. So we couldn't really get too liberal on our displays if it's blocking like a paid advertiser. So that that's the only thing I can defend GameStop on in that situation. But you're right. They've fallen behind the times.
Can you imagine walking into a GameStop, say when Animal Crossing is coming out, right? And they just have, you have the game there. You could buy it if you want to on the Switch, right? Mm-hmm. You have a little tiny display that has the game in there. But then everything else is like the fucking t-shirts and the merch and the Animal Crossing necklaces and all that. People would fucking go crazy over that shit.
Oh, I think my local GameStop does that. They have right in between registers, they've got like a table of like the merch. So like when last time I was in there, it was like Call of Duty. And so they had a bunch of the Call of Duty, like the endowment stuff and the shirts and all
that.
Yeah,
but
right
all
there.
That stuff, like I'm talking, it's got to be cute and fashionable and things that people actually
I'm just
want.
Saying in the general of being relevant to what was coming out. That's, yeah. But it was like more of a DIY thing. Once again, than a store layout, like an official store layout thing.
Anyways, if you guys have thoughts, if you guys have opinions on that, hit us up. Let us know. Join the Discord. Let us know on Twitter and stuff. We'd love to hear it from you. Mm-hmm. If you guys think that would work, if you think that that's stupid, whatever. So E3 is in trouble as well. Big time. Not only have they lost all their big time names, like, you know, Sony's not going to be there, Xbox isn't going to be there. I guess they have Stadia. But it also just lost its creative director 3 months before the show. And his name was IM8Bit. And IM8Bit, I didn't really know who that was, but I guess it was a influencer and something like a organizer who is pretty well known.
We should sue for the name.
Yeah, for real.
We'd lose.
We are 8-bit.
But that's us.
But on Twitter, he said, I decided to resign. So it's really interesting because E3 is going through kind of a transition of trying to find who they are now because, you know, they just need to become like a fucking con. You know, they want to be at like this. They say that they're trying to turn themselves into something more akin to a festival. They really need to put. I would so love to see a con where it's a video game convention where you get to. And maybe I don't see it because I've never been to a PAX and maybe PAX does this. But I'd love to see a gaming convention where you have the devs there, where they actually are set up and you can get autographs from them and they do actual, you can go watch panels with these devs and talk about the making of the game and all this other stuff. And I'm curious to know if that is done at PAX East or not.
It is. Is it? Randy Pitchford would be there with Gearbox people. There would be gaming personalities there. There would be developers usually manning the booths. Like you can go up there and usually it's
but not just manning the booths. I'm talking like putting them in the roles of.
Oh, no. And they would have panels and stuff, too. Yeah. Hmm. But it wouldn't be like celebrity tables or anything like that.
What I would want to see is celebrity tables. Like I would love to see some of the devs of these games, not just the voice actors, but I'd love to see devs start getting more more love and more fucking.
More fucking. I'd like to see him get fucking. More fucking.
I'd love for them to become more celebrity like, you know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
But I don't know, maybe that's just me.
I mean, some are, you know, like you'd have people
Cliffy B.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have these people
Matt
that are personalities.
Booty!
Hell yeah. You can't forget your boy Matt Booty.
And Jeff Stanky.
Stanky Booty in the house.
Best combo.
Let's get those two on a fucking stage. Google Stadia doesn't have many games because, well, it's not really offering devs any money.
Yeah.
Oops.
Hey.
That sucks.
Kotaku, we put out the video game system. Please put your stuff on our system, but we don't want to pay you anything for it. So
yeah, basically.
Yeah. They said just go ahead.
I was going to say, when asked about the issue, one indie dev said the incentive to make a game for Stadia was, quote unquote, kind of non-existent. Meanwhile, a publishing exec said that the offer they received from Google was, quote unquote, so low that it wasn't even put, it wasn't even part of the conversation.
Ooh.
And that's something like Google, who has mountains of money. There's also an indie company that came out and said, well, we don't want to support a system because we know what Google does to their stuff that doesn't work out. They just pull it and never support it again.
Yeah.
Like, they just leave stuff.
That sounds about right. Google Circles, or what was that? What was that?
Plus,
there
Google
you go.
Google Plus.
Also, I just realized how funny this picture was. The Red Dead picture that's in this article.
Yeah.
So. But it's a sad thing. I don't think Google Stadia will be around much longer. It was a good try, but once again, they don't support shit. Like they even had, like, I don't even know if they've put out another update to the system, and they sure as shit haven't talked to the fans about anything.
Damn,
it's fucking ridiculous.
It's like that kid that goes fishing, but all he wants to do is just reel out and cast back in, reel out, cast back in.
Doesn't actually want to do the work.
Yeah.
Catch a fish. Last Byron, thanks for subscribing. 10 months. You the best.
And Birdie just hit that follow button, so thanks, Birdie.
Thanks Birdie.
Hopefully you've enjoyed what you've listened to. Is this your first time here? Let us know. The Nintendo PlayStation is sold for $360,000 at auction. If you don't know what the Nintendo PlayStation is, in short, Nintendo made a deal with Sony to bring out the Nintendo PlayStation, and at the last minute, Nintendo backed out when they were going to make the announcement that they were working with Sony. Instead, they chose, I believe, 3DO was their, or Philips was going to be their go-to company. And yeah. Sony, and that is how the birth of Sony happened in the gaming industry, because they were embarrassed. And one of the executives at Sony said, fuck that, and let's make our own. And then that's how the PlayStation came to be.
Hell yeah.
So... I guess they were expecting this thing to sell for a lot more, but still,
really?
$360,000.
Yeah, that ain't nothing to scoff at.
For
that's
real.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, boy. One of our former guests even bid on it.
Palmer Lucky.
I did?
Oh, he's here. He's always listening.
I never left. I've been working from the other room.
Palmer
in Doug's
Lucky,
house?
Everybody.
Huh?
Bye, Palmer.
Oh, okay. I guess that's my cue to leave. Bye, guys.
Take your flip-flops with you.
Never! I leave flip-flops wherever I go. That way, when I return, I have a pair there already. Uh-huh. All right. Time to go out the window.
God, I hope you broke something. You guys, you know about this NVIDIA GeForce Now, right?
Yeah, we've talked about it on the show.
Yeah, we talked about it. It's the streaming service that that actually beats Stadia and actually has a lower latency. And they've come out, and a lot of publishers are taking their games off of the service. It just lost support for Borderlands, Civ, and other 2K games. And so it all comes down to it's so funny because this thing only streams the games that you already own.
Mm-hmm.
And for these people to take something off of the service, it's just like one of those things where you're left asking why, because you're not buying the games through you already own them.
Yeah, you're not buying them through their store or anything. It's like I bought this through you already.
Yeah. Like
twice.
You have my money.
Yeah.
Like what else are you looking for? And there's been a few that have come out and done that. And one publisher is standing behind them, which is Epic Games. Tim Sweeney has spoken out and said that they will continue to support everything that NVIDIA is doing with the streaming service, because it's the most developer-friendly and publisher-friendly platform, and that all game companies should be supporting it.
Is what Look at that, good guy, say. Tim.
Yeah, I think that the people pulling their games, it's a knee-jerk reaction because they don't understand what it does actually, and so their knee-jerk reaction is to, like, well, pull our shit off there. Like, hold no, they can't. You hold on, wait, what? And it's like, Brad, they already bought it from you. They're just streaming it to, like, their TV or to,
like, Steam Link.
Yeah, it's just like Steam, exactly. But, well, we didn't tell them they could do that. Well, they don't need your. They're not doing anything with your game. They're just streaming it. Not like
breaking into your source code or anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, he goes on to say it's the most developer friendly and publisher friendly of the major streaming services with zero tax on game revenue. Game companies who want to move the game industry forward should look to this as a healthier option. Because of the fact that you have companies like Apple and Google both charging 30% as payment monopolies. Cloud streaming services will be key players in ending the iOS and Google Play payment monopolies. Apple has decreed that the service aren't allowed to exist on iOS and therefore aren't allowed to compete. And so they're looking at this as, Tim Sweeney's looking at this as a way to kind of beat all of that and have a workaround. So I'm all for it. Stream it, baby.
Yeah.
And a couple more stories before we get out of here for the night. Star Wars Project Maverick has leaked via the PlayStation Store database. And that's all I got for you. No one really knows. I guess there was a picture of a Star Destroyer and a few X-Wings in flight. But just know that there's another game in the works, and it's pretty close to probably being announced soon.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume EA, if EA happens, or whatever they do. The EA conference at E3, or whatever they end up doing. We talked about it. Even with all the people pulling, I think this might be the last year for E3, as far if they don't get their shit together. It'd be interesting to see how they move forward. I don't know. I just that the coronavirus is kind of a killing blow for it. I would love to see it move forward, even if it's just an online thing. You know, like what we do with the PlayStation events and stuff. Where it's just like, all right, well, I guess we'll go watch the YouTube thing where they talk about it for an hour on YouTube with all the games coming out. I mean, like Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo. It's like what they do these days. So, but it would be nice if they like collaborated and made it like a week long thing,
Like an E3 developers conference.
Yeah, but like, even if it's digitally, like, from the Xbox studios in San Francisco and, from Sony in Santa Monica or whatever, right? Like, they just, like, but it's all within, like, a couple of days of each other just to kind of keep that spirit alive because that was what made it fun is, like, I don't give a shit if y'all are in the same place or not. I want all the games all at once. Like, show me what's to come for the next year. I hate this, all right, well, in April, we're going to let you know what's coming out. For the PlayStation, and then we're back in August to let you know but some of it's still the same shit we already showed you back in April, but like maybe there's a handful of new titles.
Yeah, you could thank fucking Nintendo for that one.
Yeah, seriously.
They started that shit. All right, last story of the night, and this is actually pretty funny, so I thought I'd add it. Call of Duty Modern Warfare has a Tamagotchi, and it feeds on death.
That's awesome.
So every time you kill a player, you feed your Tamagotchi.
Is it in the game?
Yes, it's in the game.
You can unlock watches in the game.
And so this one kind of sucks because it's in the store, so you have to pay $10 for it. But you wear it in game on your character, and you have to feed him, and you have to take care of him. He gets hungry, he gets dirty and unruly and sleepy. And so to keep it happy, you have to keep it with tasty treats and hugs. And then he gets satisfied with kills and objective scoring, kill streaks and wins.
That's awesome.
So
if you fail, it will wither and die.
Yeah. So if he rages for success and he will grow into a child, a teen and then an adult. If it fails, he will eventually die.
Like, think of that. Like, remember back in the day where you're like, oh, man, I got to go home and feed my Tamagotchi. It's like, now you're doing that again, but in a fucking, like, in a video. It's so, like, Inception. Game in a game.
There is a whole joke on Schitt's Creek about the sister killing the brother's Tamagotchi. And he was like, not just one, like, six of them in, like, a day. He was like, you killed all six of them. She's like, well, I mean, how was I supposed to know how to keep care of them? He's like, they were fine when I left you with them with you, and they died in a day.
You're the second person to now tell me I need to watch that show.
Well, I was the first because I told you to watch it like a month ago.
Yeah, you did tell us to watch it a while ago.
You're the first of two people.
Fucking funny.
All right, that's our show. I hope that everybody listening has gotten something out of it.
And I hope, not the coronavirus.
And not the coronavirus.
No. Not it. Those guys.
Next week, we'll be back. We'll have some fun. And I hope that you guys have a great week. Until then, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.